We'll start with verse 16. It says, "This say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that would be ye would. But if ye will lead of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are those of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lustfulness, and idleness, witchcraft, hateth, wrath, strife, and hindrances. Of course, in murders, drunkenness, in such life as which I tell you before, I have also told you in the past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, God has put in front of us several things that He doesn't want, and He doesn't want us to do. You know, we could go through every one of them items here and talk about each one, but I know pretty much everyone knows that's here, you know, what they do and what effect they have on us. Just like we're talking about the flesh, you know, there's several of them that affects it. Affects the body, affects the mind, you know, and God has put this out here to us so we know this is not good. And He wants us to, you know, tells us in the time in past, you know, that's the past. You know, if it has happened, it's in the past. And He tells us to put it away. And then also too, like the very last part there, it talks about, it says, "It shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And He's telling us that if we run them paths, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're not going to have the rejoice that we're going to get into the next verse here. It talks about there. You know, we're not going to have them goals because we've done all the, you know, He wants us to change.
But for all those things that are there that He talks about, you know, how is it that we are not to be involved in it? I mean, when you look at verse 16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish, but you are led by the Spirit." So we're led by the Spirit, but how do we not do those things? You know, that's the thing. We can tell people and we can read these verses, and that's well and good. But how do we not do it? And it's a lot simpler than we think. Like over. Genesis chapter 4 starts off with the difficulties between Cain and Abel. And of course we know Cain killed Abel because God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain. And that's a whole another sermon in itself. But when you go over to verse 6, Genesis 4, God said to Cain, "Why are you..." I've got to remember, this is long before the New Testament, long before the commandments have been given, they're living under what we call the patriarchal age. And God says, "Why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted." Well, how do you do well? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. God didn't say, I will give you some miraculous power that will cause you never to sin. He tells Cain right there, he says, Cain, if you want to be a good boy, if you want to be a good man, you have two options. You have two options in life. To be bad, just live like you are. Sin. Not do those, or if a meeting or something. Forget. Or otherwise, you're going to keep right on doing the same thing.
And just like how you're talking about ruling, you know, that's the reason why God has given us the scriptures. And he wants us to hear, you know, besides hearing the lesson, read the scriptures, be able to learn.
Yeah.
And that's why back in Canaan, there in the list there, you don't think we are here. Look at it in different ways of all the threats that we have. And we're already forewarned of it many years ago. God knew it was going to be a problem. And he has already given us that to look at. And that's what he's doing here in Galatians. All the different things that, that could help. You know, it's called, it says, the works of the flesh. You know, we're all human. And we all have entice around us every day. But also, too, he's telling us to put it in the past. And he's also, too, giving us the warning that if we don't put it in the past, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
No, I think Mark you keep in these things strong. Whatever you do, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't fool God. But whatever you say, we'll reap. If you keep in those things, that's what we're going to reap at the end.
Mm-hmm.
If you sow to the Spirit, that's what we want to do. We'll reap the good.
True. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to reap the good. But he's also, too, just like what we've seen here, he's telling us what could happen in the bad, too. And he wants us to know that. There could be other consequences of that.
You might see a list like this that has happened in the last few years. If you don't like one of these, like adultery, we meet together and have a conference or something with a group of people that don't have the authority to do that, and have a vote to say, well, we'll take adultery out there, it's no longer going to be the same, we won't accept that, or some other thing. And the idea of meeting together and having the authority to just take something, the Word of God, and just vote it away, well, it's pretty ridiculous.
True. Yeah, we can't take away, you know, if you take away from the list, like it's here, you know, like Jimmy was talking about, how many of them can you go and say, well, how many of them can we eliminate?
You eliminate
the ones I want to do. Right. Yeah, that's what it's going to be the thing. I could go and say, hey, I want to eliminate this, 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 and this. But then Daryl could come back and say, well, I don't want to eliminate that. I want to leave that on my list, but I want to take that.
You know, it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
This is how
it is. Right.
You take the eggs out.
Right.
Sugar, or if you want to get.
That actually came to mind about mashed potatoes. Say, we can't have mashed potatoes without having gravy or noodles or something like that to cover it up.
Ketchup.
Oh. That's new. Hey, you think about mashed potatoes and gravy, ketchup? That one. Think about French fries. It's French fries.
Yeah. James talks about what we're saying about temptations. It's our desires and our lusts. Nice. That starts with thinking. And Christ talks about the introduced thoughts that come in your mind. So hey, if thought comes in there that you know is not right, get that out. Well, you start out with being the light. So you get to go to the light, you got the darkness out. That would be with God. You've already said that, Mark, with the Word of God.
Right. It's true.
Paul says there, he says, and such light, anything like this, you got to do away with it. Someone might say, well, I don't believe what I'm doing is like that. If it's such light, if it's like that, it's not right.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We get into verse 22, and we're going to get into there. We're going to see some different things, a little bit different than what we just got done reading. Like in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temptation. Against such there is no law. You know, like I said, we've already read what the call it the bad things. These are all the good things. You know, and God is talking about this is the fruit. You know, we're all the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and that it's all supplied by love, by joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness and faith, and meekness and temptation. Against such, there is no law. He's telling us that nobody's telling us we can stop. You know, we can put that out. There's no law saying, hey, you got to stop doing what you're doing. And so that has effect. Just like in the next verse, it says, and they that are Christians have crucified the flesh with effectiveness and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, we're not to provoke anybody to do anything else. He's told us what we need to show. In this verse up in 22, he's told us all the list there of what to show, what effect. Of course, the other ones do too. They have an effect on somebody too. But also too, we're not provoked one another to do the bad things. We're hoping when we do the other, we're provoking them to do the good. Of course, you know, we're crucified. And it says they are like Christ, have crucified the flesh with the effectiveness and lust. You know, we're all crucified with Christ. You know, Christ went through the same thing that we did. You know, he was on the earth, in the world, for 33 years. So he endured a lot what we do. Exact things that everything that we have on this list of the, I'll call it the good list and the bad list. He endured it too. So he knows what we're going through. Exactly. And he was provoked as much as we are. You know, he had the devil showing different things. You know, enticing. You know, pretty much saying, you do this, I'll do this for you. And we have the same thing here. You know, we have the same thing enticing here. And sometimes we have to know what to do and what not to do.
Well, and that's where it says that we are to provoke or encourage one another to do the things that are right.
And that's where encouragement comes in. You know, if you're having a bad day, somebody can pick you up. You know, and that's where God wants us to do, you know, to encourage. You know, have a, I guess you call it a backup person, if you want to call it. Sometimes you do have bad days. We'll get into chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 1. And it says, brethren, if a man be overtaketh in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, also being tempted. Bear ye another burdens, and also fulfill the law of Christ. You know, sometimes the best thing to do, just like what we read right here in verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens. You know, sometimes try to help. You know, try to be there as a supporting person. Maybe that person is having a bad day. Maybe they had a bad day at work. Or just a bad day all overall. You know. And sometimes it's easier to, you know, help somebody to bear them burdens. And that's what Christ wants. He's telling us there. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and also fulfill the law of Christ.
But if you look at that, there is one stipulation. You have to be spiritual.
Spiritual.
Verse 1. Mm-hmm. Any brother is overtaken in a fault or a trespass, whatever version you're using, you who are spiritual, not somebody who's unspiritual, you are spiritual. And just mull, better than thou? You better be better than thou. You better be better than the average person if you're not. And we've got to be spiritual. And when you're spiritual, then you have the qualification to restore someone. And so I've heard people, and I've used it myself, we call this the Three Bears chapter. Bear one another's burden in verse 2. Bear your own load in verse 5. And bear in my body, Paul said. And I've heard him call this the Three Bears chapter. But we have to... If we're spiritual, then we can bear. Now, let's put another stipulation to it. If you have no knowledge about what that person's going through, you might be there to encourage them, but don't stick your nose in where it doesn't blow. You know, find somebody that does know, somebody that can relate to that person. We can't bear everybody's burdens because we're not supposed to. But we bear the ones we can. And somebody might be more spiritual toward this aspect of life, and somebody else be more spiritual in this aspect.
True. Pretty much like what you're talking about, like bring somebody in that has the more knowledge that can help. You know, like the training they've been in. You know, examples would be like with Jim and Marcia, their teachers. You know, they have the experience. You know, like with mine, I know I could say with me, it's firefighting and law enforcement.
Okay, so there's the thing. If somebody's had a problem of losing their home, losing maybe perhaps a family member, you've had experience in dealing with stuff like that I haven't. I can hold her hand, but I can't help them walk through that walk of every day of life. Somebody that's had a problem with alcohol or pornography or something can better help somebody who has no idea of what that's like.
True.
And those are the things that we bear, and we help bear, because that's what we know.
And that's the thing, that's where, you know, when it says bear one another's burdens, that example there, how can you bear that other person's burdens if you don't know what it is?
That's exactly right.
You know, if you don't have no idea.
You can't learn.
Yeah, anything you can't learn, right. That's just an example, like Steve, you know, he works on cars. You know, him and I, you know, I really can say I probably can't sit down and talk to Steve about a car because he'd probably be telling me about something about a motor I wouldn't know. But with him, he would know. Yeah. And that's where the difference is in our training and our backgrounds. But also, too, every one of us help each other. You know, Steve can help us on a little bit of part on the Pat part. Same way.
There's one thing that every Christian can do. Is they can sit down and keep their mouth shut, open their ears, and listen. Mm-hmm. Let that person talk. We can pray with them. Right. The biggest thing that we have is, you know, go to the hospital. Oh, you're having this problem. Well, I remember when my great aunt had that issue. Well, she don't. Right. Well, she died.
Yeah.
That hasn't done anything. All that's done is throw dirt in the hole.
Right.
And that's the thing, you know, we need, oftentimes, we don't know, just sit down and listen.
Right. And I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, when I've went to talk to different people, and well, especially now with my job I have now, most of the time I just talk to people when I'm going down the road. And I had a lady tell me, that she says, this is the greatest thing I've ever had. Somebody I could talk to. She said, I know you were listening to me, what I was saying. And every once in a while you chime in. But she says, I got a lot of this stuff off my chest. You know, I got to talk. Got to kind of voice this out. And now I'm going to handle this when I get home or get to where she was going. Yeah, that particular day when I had that lady in the car, she was going to the doctor. And her and I got talking about her doctor's appointment coming up. The time she got to the doctor's appointment, she told me, she says, I'm not nervous about this now.
Yeah, the whole thing like that, just listening.
Yeah.
You bear the burden.
That's right.
We take the word bear and we think we're going to fix it.
No. Right. You ain't going to fix it.
No.
No.
They don't have to be elders.
Amen. Amen.
Member, because the elder might live a Christian life all his life. He don't know what they're going through.
Right.
Be alcohol or making lessons.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, you know. A lot of people through the years. Just an example, like you're talking about, maybe in their early years they had troubles with alcohol. Or maybe they had troubles with smoking. And maybe now they don't do it. But you didn't know that. You know, when you got to know them, they were already over and done with that. They didn't have that in the background. You know, they didn't have the influences of that. But they deal, that person still deals with it, I'm sure. I know they do, because I've seen it in different other people where they'll say, well, I had that problem years ago. And
Bible skeptics are looking for contradiction. They're looking for something like this. They look at verse 2, they look at verse 5, and say, aha, here's a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at that, you back, I was reading about the Greek, and you back. Burdens was translated from two different Greek words. So what that means. That's the same thing that's going on right now in Wednesday night Bible study with the word work. There's two types of work. If you confuse that just to one, there's works of merit, which you have to be careful about, and there's works of being. And you don't know which work they're talking about. So that comes down to there's not a contradiction here at all. Probably the best example would be our English language. We use the word love way too widely. So I love ice cream, and then the next
I love my wife. There's a big difference for what you're talking about. You're using the same word. So you got to be careful in the context of what's going on.
Right. That's right. Well, as we'll say, you know, but there's different influences of everything there. Next week, I'll probably back up a little bit with verse 1, chapter 6, and that way it kind of ties it all together. And Daryl kind of touched a little bit about on down, about where it talks about bear, you know, about where it says it shall bear his own burdens. And but, we'll go ahead and start with chapter 6, and with verse 1 next week, and we'll go down through this